All right, good day to you. God bless you. Well, I've got a surprise this evening. We're not going to study God's Word in chapter by chapter. We're just going to wrap, because you know what? I got something I got to confess. We intended to start the book of John in the last lecture, and instead we started Mark. So we're going to back off, and I'm going to spend just a couple of days just wrapping with you, okay? I think it's important. And then we're going to get into John, and we'll pick up after completing perhaps Jeremiah in the Old Testament. It's time we redid it. It's a beautiful, beautiful prophecy. It has to do with these end times. I just thank our Father. Incidentally, I feel real good. I just finished talking to a sister from a certain area. I'm not going to mention that area. And she was anticipating taking her life. And in assuring her that I loved her, but what was most important, our Father did. She's praying for me right now that I'll be able to bring forth a message that will be uplifting. And my promise to her was it could help as many as 100 people, and she would have a part in that. So I feel real good that I have that person praying for me right now in the love of Yeshua Messiah Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're just going to wrap. I want to talk a little bit about some of the documentaries we're doing. First of all, I don't want you to think we're doing these just to show you things that are odd or strange. There will be a purpose, a very definite purpose behind these specials. Let's take the one just completed, the dinosaur tracks. It was to document that God's word is true. It is to document that Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, when he stated the world that was of old, we're talking about that world that was 3 million years old. You know, all the time we walked on that same level and we observed those tracks, and yes, there were tracks of men there, which will be a different subject for a different time. And those men did not have tails. Those men did not have frog legs. Those men had a foot just like mine, big, great big. And there were small ones. There were people of different ages, but they were very human. I couldn't see any difference in the shape of that foot than the shape of our feet today. So, what's the purpose? What is this thing that is called evolution? This thing that confuses many minds, and they grow lost in God's Word. Do you understand what I just said? That documents the fact that evolution is a lie. Because in looking at those banks and those layers of time, I could observe the fossils of the exact same creatures that we can go out and find living today, many of them. Many of them we can find living, you know something? They're still like God created them. Exactly. Nothing evolves. Only to the point of this. God created all things to adapt to their environment. If it is an environment that is tolerable, may I say, to that they were created for, the purpose. Of course, the purpose of all creation is for God's pleasure. He loves us. He has duties for us. And I thank our Father for that. So, that first documentary was to document that part of God's Word. In the near future, we're going to go further. We're going to read ancient Hebrew. Not this block modern Hebrew that many might think is ancient Hebrew. It isn't. I know where there is ancient Hebrew written in this nation that I know personally by research through enough families that it even puts it back past the time that any group of people that exist today could have forged it. It won't fly, friend. It won't fly. It was placed there, and we even know the date. We'll document it. It'll surprise you. It will prove to you that when God scattered his people, they were scattered far and wide. And yes, some of them traveled even to this great nation. But all of this is done to prove our Father. You know, God, in some people's mind, is perhaps a huge mass. And from that, it's just a mass of energy, this God is. And boy, from that mass of energy, he can wham! He can put the whammy on anybody he wants to at any time. Is that your Father? No way. No way. As we document that God's Word is true through archaeology, through signs, you know, signs are their tattletale of the past. You can't hide the past. The past is not something even that men can, you would think, be able to deceive. But it would seem that when the Kenites grew, came to power, and through their little hidden dynasty of education and a few other things, that is to say, in a position whereby they managed to control, we have evolution. A theory that any child with any understanding at all knows it's a lie. Because if and should evolution be a fact, it would have to be an eternal process. Did you understand me? It would have to be a non-ending process. In other words, we would have to go back to those dinosaur tracks, and we would have to find fossils of creatures that were in the process of evolving. You would have to find half frogs, half walking animals, etc., etc., something developing into the shape of a monkey, and then from a monkey to a man. You know, they find the jawbone of some ancient ape and draw a head around it and said, that's man. It doesn't look like a man to me, friend. It looks like an ape. And that's exactly what it is. They just cheat a little and put a little extra clay here and there to give it little chubby cheeks to make it look like a human being. And they have games playing with the clay and pulling people's legs. They like to do that. Actually, that's what it amounts to. Because anyone with common sense, even a child, knows that if evolution were true, even in this day, you could walk out and find still people halfway between the monkey stage and human beings. You don't, so they aren't. It's just a lie. And that's what we're about, is to document and prove that God's Word is something you can count on. It gives you stability in life. And you are his child. He is not a mass of energy. Well, can you document for me from God's Word what God looks like? I sure can. Any child can. You know, that's one thing I like about being a teacher. When you got God's Word, it's the easiest thing in the world. It's just that most people don't use common sense as our Father uses, as God uses, to rationalize things, to be rational, rather, and look at reality as it is. They would rather rationalize things into the mystic, ooh, whatever type thing. Perhaps if they make a speech and can make it super mystic and get it above the line of common sense, then it sounds like wisdom, and I suppose it is, but it's the wisdom of this world, which is ignorance to God. And truly it is. How difficult it is to document what God looks like. What did God say? You know, and how can I document that? I will in a minute. He said, let us make man, Adam, which is a term that simply means human, unless it is ha-ha-tam, which then it becomes one particular man, Adam, as we call him. He said, let us make them in our image. And so they did. You want to know what God looks like? Look at your people. Look at your people. The word in the Hebrew is a fascinating word. You can even pull from it an exact image, an exact likeness. And if you take it even to the prime in the Hebrew, it's a phantom of. Now, don't put something mystic to that. It seemingly means that it looks exactly as it does. Now, the substance naturally is different. That is to say, the texture. Man is called Adam. The word Adam in the Hebrew tongue means to be ruddy complected. I'm giving you a lesson in Hebrew. It means to be able to blush or show blood in the face. That is Ha-Adam. But the races that were created even on the sixth day with Ha-Adam created on the eighth. I don't want to bring something controversial in this because I want to prove my point is simply I want to lay some of God's simple plan because it's important that you understand His plan whereby you find yourself. You find your position in it, your purpose. No one can have faith in God if they don't find their purpose on earth. All right, that's my point. That's what we're going to derive at, hopefully. God said, let us make man in our image. He did. On the sixth and the eighth day. And, my dear friend, the footprints found on Black Mesa in Oklahoma, having seen them and see that human form, do you know what? We even have a picture of just before a lava flow or the ionization, a person stepped and other matter ran into that and it formed, if you would, the footprint became a form for a substance when removed is the foot of a man. Now it is not the fossil of a man's foot because the bodies and flesh man was in at that time did not leave what we call a skeletal or a fossil remain today. But the step in which he stepped filled in with matter and it took on the shape of the foot. Looks just like my foot. There's no difference in that man that walked this earth 300 million years ago as far as shape is concerned. Dimension and matter, of course. Now, therefore, when God said, let us make man in our image, they were made in that image even from the beginning. But in the clay, 6,000 years ago, as this earth age began, and these people, our ancestors in the flesh, were formed, they took on that same image. That same clay body was able to be impregnated, I'm speaking of the woman, by even those Nephilim, those fallen angels in Genesis 6. And thereby the offspring from that was a hybrid, and it was for that reason that God brought about the flood of Noah. Not to destroy the whole world, as he did in that first earth age, but simply to destroy those hybrids in the people that had cohabited with them. So, we have to document from God's word, then, that there was an earth age before this and that we were not in the flesh, for flesh man is only about 6,000 years old. I can document that it's somewhat older than that other than Ha-Adam, but it's a different lecture for a different time. Don't get carried away and think you dispel something. I'll just drop a hint. One day is as 1,000 years for our father, okay? Now, 6,000 years, approximately. And we see that the angel food, the same food, physically literal matter, substance, that was able to sustain the body of the angels, for in the Psalms it is called angel food, the very manna that fell to our people from our Father. And they were fed in the wilderness for 40 years. So, when God operates, it is never in a mystic way, but quite simply, very natural. Very natural when you understand His plan, when you understand the world that was. May I call to your mind, and you've heard me teach on it, I'm sure, many times, as it is written in Romans chapter 9, God stating, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. I want to draw from Jeremiah. I want to talk about that world age that was. And then I'm going to complete this lecture before we go into our questions and prayers. I'm going to complete it as to what does this mean to you? What does it mean to you today? Or I might use a very selfish old term, what's in this for me? First, I want you to understand your father, that he looks in size and form exactly as we do. He is supernatural, which means he does everything much more natural than we do, having power and authority in as much as he is the creator. But he's still your father. Aren't you proud of him? Your father created all things. What does that make you? It's a beautiful thought. It swells many's heads. It puts some on ego trips. But all children are our Father's children. And he loves each and every one of them. And each and every one of us have a purpose. That purpose is to give our Father pleasure. He has a sense of humor. He laughs. He smiles. And he cries when you hurt him. You're his child. And he loves you and he cares. And when you hurt one of his children, it hurts him. You see, the reason God teaches using this manner and method is this. He likens it to you and your own children. When someone hurts one of your children, you grow angry if it's deliberate, and you protect the child. Well, our Father does also. But I want to turn to the book of Jeremiah for just a moment. It's going to be very brief. But I want to show you that there were other people other than Esau and Jacob that God knew before they entered their mother's womb. I want to assure you that inasmuch as all souls come from God, he knows all his children. He knew them all before they entered the mother's womb. God is fair and just. Most usually, the lot we find in this earth age is because of what happened in the world that was. That's why God hated Esau. It was because of his deeds in the world that was. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Listen to me. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is God speaking to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly. This is the womb. You got that? I want you to understand, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew you before your mother ever received the conception, or the conception was accomplished. I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained, I foreordained, I predestined, I determined thee a prophet unto the nations. Of course, he earned this because of whatever his position was in Satan's first rebellion. He stood against him. He fought for God. Why? Because he loved our Father. He didn't want to hurt him. I don't want you hurting him today either. I want you working for him. Because many of you have a destiny and Satan would like nothing better than to destroy you from off the face of this earth rather than fulfilling the purpose and simplicity. You see, there are so few people that are able to use common sense and think in the natural, which is horse sense, common sense. They've all went by the wayside and think the way of the world. They can't reason things out that black is black and white is white. I speak of simplicity as simplicity. Our Father did not create life on this earth in such a complicated form, if you will read his book of instructions, that man cannot understand. 6. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. It means I'm a very young man. I'm not old and gray-headed and have wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Says I'm a young man. It doesn't mean a child as we think of one today. A youth, in other words. 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So we see a type of God's elect that will be delivered up in this final generation. Do you realize that God knew you before you entered the mother's womb? Do you realize that the book was set forth in the world that was, and many were sanctified? In Romans chapter 8, where Paul is relating concerning God's set aside ones, saints, first fruits, God's elect, those that do not have free will in this earth age, God said, you don't even know what to pray for, in verse 27 or 28 of Romans 8. Because I intercede in your life because you are preordained, you're foreordained. And in the world that was, you were made like unto before the foundations of this earth age. The kadosh, the overthrow of Satan at Satan's rebellion. The verb documents it to the letter. And scholars know this. If they would only come forward with enough guts to make the stand and teach God's word as it is written, to bring back the simplicity that is in God's word. He says there in Romans 8, I foreknew you, I justified you, meaning I judged you and I found you perfect. That is to say, I can use you without giving you free will in this earth age to bring about my overall plan. How is it that we could find the dinosaur tracks along with man's tracks? Let's go to the fourth chapter of Jeremiah. I shared this with you in that documentary. I want to do it again. Okay, and we'll bring up the first verse there, verse 22 of Jeremiah chapter 4. Listen to it. For my people is foolish. They don't use common sense. They have not known me. They don't study our Father. They think he's some big ball of hyper energy out here that likes to zap people, and quite frankly, they're frightened of him because they have not been told that he looks even as they do, and he has tears in his eyes when he sees his children in the position they are. They're foolish. They've not known me. They are sottish children. That means they're just a little bit stupid. Not a little bit, a whole bunch. Let's say it like it is in the Hebrew. And they have none understanding. You know why? They don't want to take the time to read this beautiful letter our Father has written. They are wise to do evil. That's to say, the ways of the world, evolution. Oh, let's dream up another little funny bunny story. But to do good, they have no knowledge. They absolutely cannot use common sense to go out and say, well, look, two dinosaurs have walked across here, and hey, look, there's a man's print. Evolution is false. We see everything in its state 300 million years ago as it is today. They don't want to use common sense. That's too easy. What it is, they're sottish. They're 23, I beheld. Now we're going back to the destruction of that earth age that was. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form. In the Hebrew. And void in the heavens. And they had no light. When God destroyed this earth age, rather than killing one-third of his children, documentation, Revelation chapter 12, when a third of them followed Lucifer, and he had a choice. And he's, as I stated, he's not some huge mass of energy ready to destroy. He is a loving, caring father. And a third of his children have paid allegiance and their love to Satan. Now he has a choice. He can kill a third of his children. You ever thought about killing one of yours? And I'm speaking seriously now. Of course not. A parent does not do that. Not when they are within their own realm of thinking. God didn't want to kill him either, so he destroyed the earth age and brought into being this earth age, where even that third that were totally, completely lost, even with the third that really were a little flaky, didn't really have time for the Father, and another third that really were too busy making miles, the whole bunch, a bunch of failures in a sense. So rather than kill that third and try to work with the others, he destroyed the earth age and brought this being. Here is the destruction. 24. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved slightly. You will find in the book of Isaiah that God created this earth to be inhabited with dry land. This is the destruction that destroyed that earth age that was, that one that was 300 million years ago from which the dinosaur tracks come, as well as the man's tracks. Well, show me the man there. Listen, 25. I beheld, I looked, and lo, there was no man. I destroyed them as well. There's tracks, but no man. And all the birds of the heavens were fled. I destroyed them as well. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord. Do you understand there were even cities, there was intelligence even at that time? Those were totally, completely, utterly destroyed. When there are cities, my friend, it takes a little old frog a long time to build one. All right, you got it. You know how to use common sense. I said it again. God destroyed both the man and his cities. Frogs don't. Frogs, a city doth not build. All right? Not the city we're talking of here. And by his furious anger, God was mad. Mad at who? Mad at Satan. And hurt by that third. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. That was God's promise. Because he loved his children. He brought in a new cosmos, a new earth age, that is to say. And his children loved him for that. So what does that mean to you today? Well, from that you begin to see the formulation of God's plan. The reason I'm doing this, I have many people that are elderly, that they begin to see the truth, and it frightens them a little bit because they say, why couldn't I have seen this long ago? Now time is so short. And I have to learn all this. No, all you have to know is God's plan. Continue studying his word. Nobody knows how short the time is. We know and feel absolutely that we are within the season. But as long as you understand God's plan and you're willing to serve him, for what will he do now? And as it is written, these children he knew before. It is his prayer, as all things were removed from their remembrance. And they were born an innocent babe to live this earth age and decide. Oh, about 70 years, give or take, you know, either way, that's all. He didn't put them through all that much. He's not put us through all that much. But it's a proving time to decide. On your own, born innocent, can you stick with God's law and his reason, his common sense? That is so obvious, even as we look at anthropology, as we look at archaeology, as we look at tracks and signs. Let's put it that way. A child can understand our Father's plan. Applied with his word, that he loves us very much, else he would not have given us this opportunity. But he has given us this opportunity. Let's make the best of it and please him. I don't like my father to be made to cry anymore. Did you hear me? I don't like my father to be made to cry anymore. We've heard him a lot. We heard him in his only begotten son, we're all children, but his only begotten son had to die for all the rest of us because we don't have it. We heard him. And even on the cross that night, they all left him. Left him while he was paying that price. We're never going to leave him again, dear ones. I promise you, as a teacher, I trust that I have put the courage in you that, and the Holy Spirit has touched you, that we shall never leave him. We have a destiny as this Antichrist appears on this earth very soon, as he has made very clear. very, very clear. There will be no gathering back to Messiah until after the tribulation of Antichrist. Well, what tribulation is it? Am I going to get hurt? Oh, poor you. No, you're not. Not unless you're one of the two witnesses. And don't you ever feel sorry for the two witnesses, because whoever they are, they will consider it a pleasure and an honor to shed their blood for the glory of the living God. For as it is written in Revelation 11, after that blood is shed, they shall rise from that street in 3.5 days, and fear shall fall over those that have been deceived by the rapture theory and a few other things. What a time of rejoicing for we that have that destiny, that God foreknew, that He chose, that He will give a part. You know, Jesus said, I come not to this earth to bring peace, but to bring fire. That fire is the Shekinah glory, as well as correction upon the enemies of God. And if I find that fire already kindled, may we fan that fire, may we kindle it. For your purpose and your destiny, dear one, is to please your Father and to know that in using common sense, you do not have one question or one problem, that when you understand that simple plan of God's salvation, knowing from the world that was decided your lot in this earth age. Why? Because God is totally fair. Hey, if you blew it real bad in the world that was, you're not going to have it so hot here, friend. So don't say, God, why am I in this position? Because of what happened before. Why did God choose Jeremiah as a prophet? Because of his good works in that earth age that was. Well, are you talking about reincarnation? I certainly am not. You're only going to live one time in this earth age, and those that claim reincarnation are reincarnate are demon-possessed, demonic-possessed. Demons are around because Satan is given that right to deceive if anyone is stupid enough to let him talk to them. So put him out of your life. Order him out. Because Christ gave you the power whereby our people can overcome that wicked one. What an interesting, exciting, important time to live now, and to live for a purpose, for a love of our Father who looks as we do. It's just natural. He cares about you. So understand His overall plan. We're going to pick this up here in the next lecture. We're going to talk about it some more. We're just going to talk one-on-one about our Father's plan. Oh, it's a glorious thing to be able to serve Him and please Him and see Him smile. He has a beautiful smile because we've pleased Him. And from that come His blessings. Well, we'll pick this up in the next lecture. God bless you. I want to share something with you. All right. Good day to you. God bless you. Hey, we've been waiting on you. We're ready to discuss a while. Our Father's Word. Again, we're going to take this lecture just basically to talk about God's Word. And we might say that many of the questions that you've called in, I'm going to work them into a format and thereby at length answering with an overall plan some of your questions, maybe with a little more in depth. We had discussed in the last lecture the world that was, and the special, that documentary we just made out in extreme western Oklahoma on the dinosaur tracks, documenting that this earth, that particular set, over 300 million years. It's a long time. That branched and gapped the world that was. And our Father's Word, it is written that there was an age, not as different as it would be in the Hebrew, Eretz or Terframa, but a different age. And we discussed how that our Father at Satan's rebellion, that a third of His children, as it is documented in Revelation 12, fell off with Satan. Not too many more overcame. Satan really deceived a lot of people by our Father giving those souls, which is to say being people, free will. So, free will, in a sense, is a necessity to bring about the plan of God. Now, that may sound a little confusing to you, but from the very beginning, day one, God, though he was all-knowing, wanted to create children for his pleasure that could love him. Now, it's very simple, and I don't want you to make it complicated. I don't want you to strain at a gnat and swallow the whole camel, all right? It's a very simple thing. God most often used human examples because humans have emotions. You know what? Your father has emotions too, because we were made in his image just like him. Only, of course, he is supernatural and he is the creator. So he shows us those human emotions whereby we can express and understand love, pleasure, that is to say, good fellowship, friendship, association, mates, etc. So, our Father must give free will, because any time that you create a being that can do nothing but love, it's not true love. Not even the supernatural can create an entity, a person, and earn its love and respect without giving that entity free will. Free will meaning they're free to do whatever they want to. They can mess up. They can fall astray. Or they can refuse to love you. It can, that love relationship can even turn into a hate relationship. But still, anytime you create a being that must love you, it's a zombie. I love you, I love you, I love you. It has no feeling, no emotion. In other words, it's not real love, because you can't buy it, you can't order it. That's why love is the strongest thing in the world. There's nothing stronger than love. Kings have conquered nation after nation and take the prize, and the little woman simply smile and bat her eyes and say, I love you. I would like for that to be mine. And he'd say, and what else do you need, darling? All right? Love is the strongest thing in the world. It'll conquer all. Well, it's because it is such a commodity, and perhaps if I may use that terminology, that it's precious. It is precious. So, our Father wanted free will people that would love him. Now, there was, as it is written many times, I can think of Matthew chapter 13, where it concerns the tares first being planted in this world, that's to say the Kenites, sons of Cain, sons of Satan. It states there that certain were chosen before the foundations of this earth age. Ephesians 1, which we covered in the a lecture or so back. I chose you before the foundations of the earth. And I want to go to the ultimate now. I want to make I want to differentiate between those that were chosen and those that weren't. Because God has a purpose for it. You see, anytime you come up short, as we discussed in that last lecture, God saying, while Esau was in his mother's womb, I hated him. God doesn't hate for naught. He's a God of love and understanding. And many, many fall short. Well, God just isn't there. It's because you don't understand God's overall plan. God hated Esau because Esau was the soul of a being that was in the world that was. Not a different person. The same person. That soul, that spiritual body placed inside that little embryo, that Esau. God hated that person because of the events that transpired in the world that was. God had a right to hate him because of what he did. You might say, well, what did he do? I don't know. But the fact that my father hated him is enough for me to say, beware, friend, for in that one we have the nation Russia today. And therefore, as we covered in the last lecture, the very first verses of Jeremiah. God said, I knew you before you were in the belly. I knew you before you even entered that embryo in your mother's womb. And I chose you even at that time as a prophet. Well, again, God is fair. God's not the author of confusion, but peace. That's to say, peace of mind. So let us exercise our minds a moment and see if we can come up with a rational conclusion. If God picked Jeremiah as a prophet before he was in the mother's womb, that's to say, while he was still with him, it was because in that world that was, he proved himself as a prophet. He proved himself to be worthy to take forth that word of God. God knew he could count on him. God knew he wouldn't run at the first little opposition. God knew that he wasn't a White House lily, that the first little hot wind that hit him, he'd turn his heels up. God likes men and women of God that have got enough backbone that they can stand up and let this world see what a real Christian looks like. Not too many do. He had proved himself in that first cosmos, the first world age. And again, I want to reiterate, because there are a lot of people that evidently are not, they do not understand the terminology reincarnation. And they say, you're teaching reincarnation. And you show your ignorance concerning terminology when you say that. Because reincarnation is to live in the flesh more than one time. I'm talking about people living in angelic bodies in an age that was. The Bible states that very clearly. It's just that people will not study our Father's Word. But we've been passing through this earth age. God is totally fair. So let me tell you something, friend. When you look around yourself today and wonder, I wonder how I was born into the situation I was, you had it coming. If it was with blessings, then blessings you deserved. If it was in poverty, poverty you deserved because of what you accomplished in the world that was. Now, in this earth age, though, any man, woman, or child has free will or election, but can, after Messiah and this being part of God's plan, having paid the price on the cross, opened the way to salvation, and through salvation, God's blessings that can raise you to whatever state, rank, or however you wish to look at it in your mind to understand it. If you serve God and do His will, He's going to raise your place. He's going to pour blessings on you. It's His promise. Many might say, well, I've gone to church all my life and He's never blessed me. Well, what did they teach? The rapture theory in that place? A falsehood? Something that is not even written in God's Word? How can you expect your tithe to be honored and bring blessings on you when you're helping Satan's work? For all those that expect a rapture will worship Satan as Antichrist before this earth age ends, inasmuch as this is the final generation. God will not bless those that bless Satan. God blesses those that bless Him. It is written in the epistles of John that if you as much as wish them Godspeed, you become a partaker of their evil deeds. So, it just takes a little understanding of our Father's overall plan, and to find yourself and to know that you have a purpose and a destiny, and many of you have known it all your life that there was more to God's Word than you were being taught. And you know it. I don't have to tell you. You've known it since you were a child, a lot of them. I'm going to pick up in Revelation chapter 17 when that old whore is already on this earth. You know who that old whore is? It's the churches that Satan has already round. That beautiful archangel, that cherubim, rather, has them all bowing and scraping at his feet, bringing in plenty and prosperity to this earth age, and they think it's Jesus. And then they load on that old heifer's back and say, we're not a widow. Jesus has returned and we're married. And they're nothing but that old mystery Babylon, the great whore. because they listen to the traditions of man rather than studying God's word. Now listen to me, and you listen to me closely. You must look at both ends of the spectrum. There is on this end of that spectrum election. There is on this end of that spectrum free will. Why? Because some overcame in the world that was, and God elected them. God chose them. He sends them to this earth age, the remnant all down through the years, but the election for this final generation, whereby they will stand and He will intercede in their lives. He will place them where they thought perhaps they would never even be, or how, what am I doing in this place? Documentation, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 27. You don't even know what to pray for, it states. Therefore, God intercedes in your life because you were preordained. Documented. All right, let's take the old heifer here, the whore chapter 17 of Revelation, where the old mystery Babylon is at her point. Listen to this, verse 8. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was, he was old Lucifer back in the world that was, the king of Tyre, if you want to be more specific, Ezekiel chapter 28. And is not, he's not walking on this earth today, he's behind Christ, because Christ said, get behind me and stay there. And that's where he is until Michael throws him out on this earth very soon as Antichrist. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. That's his place. In other words, where the smoke comes out with the locust army, his little Kenite sons on this earth, Revelation 9. And go into perdition. He is the only. Do you know what the word perdition means? It means to totally perish, death forevermore, eternal. God has only passed that sentence upon one entity. Therefore, it's not difficult to understand who the son of perdition is, because God has only sentenced one to that place. Don't let your little traditions concerning Judas get in your way. I just completed a lecture on the son of perdition, I don't know, a week or so, or maybe the last one. It's maybe not even be... Yeah, it's ready. And if you haven't heard it, you should. It's Satan, all right? The son of perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder at what? Wonder after the whole, after him? Wonder, as it is stated, mystery Babylon, the great mother of the harlots, an abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Well, the whole world's going to wonder after her, with the exception of a group, listen to it, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Those that God had not chosen before the foundation of this cosmos, this earth age, that is election. That is to say, they stood against Satan in the world that was, and they're going to very soon when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. You know why? They have God's seal in their forehead, which is simply to say His word, His truth. They were skilled in using that word. That word is what brings you blessings, understanding it, and serving. So you see, Jesus would be very unfair. He let all of them whore after that one, except those that He chose before the foundations of this earth. It's because they believed a lie. They wanted to be deceived because they listened to men. They listened to the damnable rapture theory. And Jesus makes it very clear. You know, I intended to bring, excuse me, I may go off camera here just a second. I intended to bring a certain book tonight, and I don't see it on my desk. Here it is. I want to read something to you. You've heard me talk about this book, The Incredible Cover-Up by Dave McPherson, many times. And you've heard me states when Margaret MacDonald, you know what the year is? It's 1830, and friend, this is documented. She got the rapture theory in a bad dream with a bad night when she was a sick woman, mentally. Do you understand? I want you to know what you're believing when you believe these men on something that isn't, the word rapture is not even in the Word of God. I want you to hear from Margaret's own mouth. And I read from page 37, about paragraph 3. There are two astonishing admissions in this paragraph. Margaret MacDonald saw a two-stage coming. That is to say, a rapture and then Christ returning in Revelation 11. And that this was the first time such a distinction was made. Immediately after this amazing paragraph or these words, she writes, in other words, this is from her mouth, I felt this needed to be revealed. She had a little mental problem, you understand? She just had to, it wasn't written in God's Word. She saw a vision and decided it should be revealed. And that there was a great darkness and arrow about it. In other words, it was Satan. Satan is darkness. But suddenly, what it was burst upon me with a glorious light. Satan is that bright, luminous star. That's what Lucifer means, is bright star. By her own mouth, it was darkness and evil, an error, a mistake. She knew it. That little bit of Christianity that was in that sick girl's mind. Two of the pastors of the local area were there as people came in wagons and with wagons and horses from miles around because this family was babbling and spewing forth words that were strange. And these two pastors decided they would make a great discovery from the Word of God, and they invented the rapture theory. Now, God's elect know better than to believe the rapture theory because it is not written in our Father's Word. You are told in Mark 13, Jesus, in Matthew 24, when Jesus said, was asked by the disciples, tell us how it's going to be when you return for the church. And he said, many are going to come claiming to be Christ, that's to say Christians, but don't you believe them, because they just think they're Christians. See that you're not deceived, for they will cause you to be delivered up before the synagogues of Satan. But you're delivered up there for a purpose, not to premeditate what you will say beforehand, but speak that the Holy Spirit puts in your mouth. That is that was spoken of by Joel the prophet on Pentecost Day, Acts chapter 2, verse 7. A language that went out in all languages for a purpose, not to babble. There's enough babbling in the world today, but to take the real true gospel, the fact that people are deceived to the whole world for a purpose, because God is fair and just. He intends to let them know the truth, even as they wallow as that Jezebel whoring in that bed with Satan. He said, behold, I have foretold you all things, and if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. But for their sake, I have shortened the time. It isn't the only place that you are warned of that first tribulation. All through the book of Daniel, time after time, in that ninth chapter, he will come in, seventh chapter, he will come in prosperously and peacefully. He's not coming in to destroy or to kill flesh, but to destroy and kill souls, if you allow him to. So, we see then that God, as we read in that book of Revelation, he chose some before the beginning of this earth. They're not going to be deceived. The others have free will. And with that free will, they have the privilege and the opportunity of making their own mind up as to whether they will follow God or whether they will follow Satan. Does that mean they're all going to hell? They're going to think they are. But that's not the teachings of God, for we have the millennium age whereby God's elect again will teach through that millennium age. Now let's talk about election and let's talk about free will. What's the difference? There's no difference whatsoever, unless you were to put it in this perspective. One overcame in the cosmos that was. Others will overcome in this earth age. Many of your grandparents, mothers, fathers that have gone on with him, loving Jesus, respecting him, they were never confronted by the Antichrist, that is to say, as he sits in Jerusalem claiming to be Christ. Therefore, they have overcome. But the differences, and the reason I state that the full one-third of the souls that worshiped Satan in the world that was are living right now, because they will all do it again, a second time. Because their names were not written in the world that was? No, because they're stupid. They're a little slow up here. They will listen to what the masses say rather than what God's Word says. I feel in a sense that God is doing this to say, okay, friend, you claim that Satan, in all his wisdom and your wisdom, deceived you. And I put you on earth, born innocent of woman, with all those things erased from your mind. I call to remembrance some things in my elect's sake, for the elect's sake. And all on your own, you've stumbled right back into the same mess. And many of them will be so ashamed that they will pray for the mountains to fall on them, which is to say they want their soul to die, but death will flee from them, because you cannot wish your soul to die. There is only one that can destroy your soul, and that's Almighty God, for he created it. The flesh, hey, that's no problem. But the soul, that's a different story. So, what about this spectrum, then, that I forementioned? Give me some examples, you might say. Well, let me give you, as far as the elect is concerned, old Paul. Paul's free will was to murder Christians. Paul, on that road to Damascus, had a written bill in his pocket to drag out of churches Christians and murder them or deliver them to Jerusalem. And God struck him down. Did they have a revival? Did they have a big tent gathering? Brother Paul, do you love Jesus? Brother Paul, will you please follow Jesus? No, Paul didn't have a choice. He struck him down on that road to Damascus, blinded him, and called him to service, the same as he does many of you today. Not that dramatic, but you still, when you hear the truth of God's Word, you know you must go. You must follow, and there's nothing you can do about it. The same as it was with Paul. And Paul was delivered then, taught. And Jesus stated in that book of Acts, in chapter 10, what is it about, verse 15, states there, he is my chosen vessel, meaning he is my elect. What about the disciples? Did Jesus go up to each one of them and say, oh, dear Simon, I am the Lord Messiah, I am the Son of God, and I have come to this earth to bring the gospel, and I'm having a revival here, and I wonder if you could follow me. He didn't say that. He didn't give him any choice. He said, follow me. It was an order. That's election, because it was predetermined from the world that was. God not being unfair, for as it is written in Romans chapter 8, you overcame in the world that was, you were predestined, you were justified, it states in the English. In the Greek it is judged. Their judgment took place there, because they overcame, they stood against Satan. Now, let's take some with free will then. Give us some examples. Okay? Let's take the eunuch. That poor eunuch had the word of God, and he was up in this carriage. He was a good man. And he was trying. He was deciphering. The Holy Spirit wasn't touching him. And along comes Philip. And Philip was instructed to stop. And the eunuch says,
How can I learn except some man teach me? Let's take Cornelius. Did God strike Cornelius down and say, Cornelius, you are my chosen vessel, you will follow me? No. Cornelius was led by the Spirit to send for Peter. And Peter came and taught him and led him. Cornelius had free will. The eunuch had free will. The majority of people have free will. You can do whatever you want to with it. But there are certain, as it is written in chapter 11, God said, or through Paul, has God forsaken Israel? God forbid, Paul said, for I myself am an Israelite, the stock of Abraham, and I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, I have Benjamin. My blood is of Benjamin. Do you not remember back in old Elijah's day when he thought he was the only one left, when he could see the truth written in God's word and no one else seemed to understand? And God said, don't worry. I have set aside 7,000 that will never bow a knee to Baal, which is to say Antichrist. And then he goes on, it has nothing to do with grace in this earth age because they were predestined. The election have obtained the promise, and the rest are blinded, whereby even the Gentile, the ethnos in the Greek tongue, the ethnic peoples, can have an opportunity to be converted and to love Jesus and be grafted into the family of God, all of God's children through salvation. So you see, we have free will and we have election, and do you know something? God is fair. But if you do not understand the world that was, there's no way you can see how that God is fair. Okay, I want to document something one step further. The large deception of the end times will be the coming of Antichrist. Do you know another place Paul taught that? And some of you as elect are going to teach this same thing. I want you to see the scriptures. I've asked that they be placed on your screen. Chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. Paul has stated in verse 1, though it's translated, bear with me, my folly. What he's really saying in the Greek is, I have something real serious I want to talk to you about. And he states to this his family, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Yes, God is jealous of his children. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, Greek is very specific. The subject here is that you keep your virginity until the true Christ returns to this earth. There's a great wedding feast, but there's going to be a false wedding before that. He says, I'm afraid, after having promised you to one husband, verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, that is Satan, well documented. Oh, which chapter would you like out of Revelation? Chapter 20 or chapter 12? Let's take chapter 12, verse 7, verse 8. That old serpent, the dragon, the devil, Lucifer, whatever name you want to call him, friend, he's the same entity playing different roles. The serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Do you know what this word beguiled is in the Greek? Holy seduce. You got the picture? She lost her virginity. Holy seduce. That's the subject. I'm not being graphic. I'm being plain so that you get the message. He's telling you what happened in the garden. The serpent means upright. It was Satan himself, the very appearance as of those angels that had intercourse with woman in Genesis 6, and giants were born. That brought about the flood. You understand what we're talking about? I think you do. Who beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You can't seem to stick to plain common sense and the simplicity in which Christ teaches things. You have to get on one of these flyaway things. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, If he preaches one that flies you away before the true Christ that does not come until the last trump and when the true witnesses rise from the streets of Jerusalem, whom ye have, we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. That's what he's saying. You want to be deceived. You want an easy way out. And then he tells them why he wants them to remain virgins. Verse 13. Is that where we've got up? Yes. 13. Same chapter. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming. Just hold it right there. That word can in no way be translated transforming. It's coming disguised as. Coming disguising themselves into the apostles of Christ. They claim to be super preachers. They claim to be ministers of Christ. But they teach a far different message. They teach this message that Satan put on the lips of Margaret MacDonald in 1830, just a little over 150 years ago. And it has risen with such great power in the so-called Christian churches throughout this nation that 95% espouse this same theory that came from this sick-minded woman, rather than waiting for the true Christ. They believe the false apostles. Listen carefully. 14, Paul says, get ready. And no marvel. Hey, that's no step for a stepper. No marvel at all. For Satan himself. Is that difficult to understand? Satan himself is transformed. You know better now. Disguised. Into an angel of light. Jesus, the spurious Messiah. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, his little old false preachers since Margaret MacDonald and even before, that teach the rapture theory, also be transformed or disguised as the ministers of righteousness, and they are going to righteous you, unrighteous you right into hell, whose end shall be according to their works. If you work for Satan, your end will be with Satan. Well, bless your hearts. You got free will? Are you God's elect? It doesn't make a whole lot of difference because you're God's children. But some of you that have known you had a destiny, and if you can understand my words, and if you know Satan is coming first with that big lie, I'm going to rapture you out, then you are one of God's elect. For God blinded all others, whereby when they commit the sin in ignorance, there is no sin. And they will be taught in the millennium. Praise God for that. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this. I'll be praying about it. I don't know what we'll do in the next lecture. We may take this a step or two further, based overall on questions we have received. Bless your hearts. You listen a moment, please.